This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Leland Miller. Thank you so much for being with me. Thank you so much for letting me be with you. I don't know what it is that you do at 11 o'clock, but whatever it is that you do do, I'm happy that you do that do and that you do that do with me. It is Tuesday, and believe this or not, I was supposed to have with me the chairman of the Police Staff Association, as we discuss something that I think is beginning to become the unpoliceable. I wanted to have him here this morning so that we could talk about this laughable notion that the Prime Minister has that somehow he can have a vaccination day. You know, if the Prime Minister wasn't a medical physician, I believe that he could easily go and be a high school principal or maybe a primary school principal, because he seems to kind of has this affinity with lording over people that are that in his mind are of a lesser status or standard than him. I don't really understand how a vaccine holiday or vaccination day would work. It to my mind just simply doesn't make sense. And I've heard people like Juan McCartney talk about whether or not it was an infringement on the rights of people, right? I heard people like Juan McCartney talk about whether or not the Prime Minister had the ability or the capacity or the capability to do such a thing. But I want to talk more about how enforceable a policy is that. And I'll tell you why. I don't think the policy is very enforceable at all. Not only is there a difficulty with vaccination amongst the nurses, not only is there a difficulty with vaccination amongst the doctors, there seems to be quite a bit of a difficulty with the vaccination of members of the law enforcement branches. As a matter of fact, the wind told me that places like the Royal Bahamas Defense Force has less than a 1% or 2% inoculation rate. It is easily arguable that if my ears hear clearly enough and the wind speaks loudly enough to me, the situation over at my friends over there, the Royal Bahamas Police Force, is not very different. So tell me, pray tell, Mr. Prime Minister, the most honorable, the competent one, who in fact will police this vaccination day? How will we do it? What will it look like? Where will the men be? How does an unvaccinated police officer dare open his mouth to ask me for a vaccination and on whose authority? Are we then saying that we want the police to put themselves in a position where they find themselves before the face of the court in instances like the ones they found themselves before the court before on, right, where they've stopped people without justifiable cause, and those people have sought redress before the face of a court? I mean, is that where we are now putting police officers in a position where their job is to now go into the public and harass the public for something that is not readily available? What do I mean? There is something in the law, I think we practice it in the Bahamas, it's called probable cause, right? Therefore, a police, in his execution of his duty as a police officer, sees you in your vehicle with a license plate not affixed, he has a reason to stop you. A police officer, in his execution as a police officer, sees you with a license disc that looks tampered with, that looks falsified, he, therefore, in his capacity as a law enforcement officer, has a right to stop you. A police, in the execution of his duty, while on patrol in an area, gets information from police control room that there is a suspect in the general area wearing a dress that fits yours, with the same height as yours, and the same skin tone and hair type as yours, now has probable cause to believe that you may have been the person in that area that has caused the chaos, and as such, he can stop you. Well, what is going to be the criteria? And see, I'm telling you, this is becoming the unpoliceable. What is going to be the criteria? How are we going to do it as we begin to cautiously, without continuing this stampede it's becoming, of people's fundamental right to movement? How are we going to do it? What is that going to look like? And is the general public comfortable with these two things? One, that on a whim, the police can stop you. And many people will say, oh, well, the police stopped me on a whim now. But think about the overreaching, overarching, just general tone of the fact that there is going to be a day decided by the competent authority that the police officer, for no other reason than to check your health status, has every right to stop you. I don't know if I feel comfortable living in a country where we give the police that power. And you know well enough that I am friends of the police. Or a friend of the police. I am also not reasonably comfortable with the fact that the same police officer, all right, because the wind told me, outside of the top floor and outside of the exception of those that have gone on their own accord and have been inoculated, at least 80% of the force remains uninoculated at this present time. So the question becomes, on what moral authority will an unvaccinated law enforcement officer have the gall to stop me and ask me for a vaccination? And in the case where I am vaccinated, what exactly is my redress for him bringing his unvaccinated law enforcement badge having self in my presence when everybody should be vaccinated? You see how these things, like, you kind of have to... Governance, I imagine, because I've never had the opportunity to govern, it's like a puzzle, right? And although it is chaotic and sometimes sporadic, at the end of the day, all of the teeth should fit into the groove. And in the instance where you have no teeth, you may have a missing groove. But what you certainly cannot have is more teeth than you have grooves. And I think that's where we're beginning to face, to go, in this fight against COVID-19. It's beginning to not only be ad hoc, it's now becoming nonsense. It's what it is. It is not reasonable. It is just simply not a reasonable thing to suggest by any stretch of the imagination that you could have something as silly as vaccination day. Forget the civil aspects of it. It is just not enforceable. What are we going to do? Chain off the streets? Because except you can convince the men of arms to take the vaccine. And I think the commander of the Defense Force has proven to us that having a single shot of the vaccine ain't enough to stop you from getting COVID. We've proven that. Then what exactly are we attempting here? I was hopeful that I would have had the Police Staff Association chairman to help me and let me know what the plan is. If anybody can reach him, you could ask him to send me a text message, 422-4796. Maybe I can get him on the hard line and we can do it over the phone. But I don't see the sense in it. And I am also, according to the Win, not sure if there is a fundamental plan, and this is only what I heard in the Win. But I don't know if there is a fundamental plan for how we will inoculate or convince our armed forces to be inoculated. And we know that the commander of the Defense Force has already said that he's going to look at it and see how far his powers reach with regard to vaccination. I'm going to tell you, I've read the Act a couple of times. I can't think in my mind of a single power given to the commander of the Defense Force that would give him the ability to make vaccinations in his organization mandatory. Except they were to try and do it at enlistment. And then the question would become, what the hell you could do with the other 1,500 people you already got, because they already there. So you may be, at the point of attestation, capable of telling people that one of the requirements to attest or to enter is that you have to have all of these vaccinations. You may be able to get away with that. I know that they do it for international courses. When I wanted to go on an international course, I had I had to take the yellow fever, the bird flu, what's up, Mel's Island, and something. I know one thing. They give me so much shots. When I finally landed in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, I was so sick that I almost thought I wouldn't make the course. As a matter of fact, I thought the angel of death had come to collect me. So that may cure both the commissioners of police and the commander of the Defense Forces issue with vaccinating their men. But that does nothing for the men that are already enlisted. And again, if the wind speaks clearly enough, I'm telling you that there isn't a plan for the vaccination of men. So then whose advice? Because this is one of the times, Dr. Hubert Minnis, the most honorable, competent authority, sir, where it don't matter what the science says. We have now got to somehow negotiate, figure out, sit to the table with the commanders of these organizations and figure out how are we going to continue to maintain manpower if you, the competent authority, make a situation where only vaccinated people could be out after a certain time, because then that would subject them. Or are you going to make more of these ridiculous exemptions? And we know exactly where we are when we start having these bunch of exemptions. It becomes more confusing and people begin to become more wary of what is now beginning to seem to be a never-ending cycle. And so I'm concerned about it. I don't think that it is, again, something that a person with a reasonable mind would think about. It is obviously something that a man that has taken power and has gone mad has thought about. He wants to be the principal. If you bring your $2, you could dress up. If you bring your $2, you could have pizza. Yay, we are gonna have pizza day here in the Bahamas. And when you approach vaccination with that type of frivolity, I don't know if you ever arrive at where you hope to have the population, which is what I talked about. And outside of that, I also don't think it is wise to tell me that you are going to give special privilege, get this, to the vaccinated people, get this, when you, the government of the Bahamas, don't have enough vaccination for everybody who here. What if I won't go last? What if I say I won't wait till the whole Guardian staff then go on and I can go last, right? Not because I'm unwilling, but because I won't see, you know, who grows an extra sexual organ. Are you then saying to me that because I decided to go last and you, the only person in the country that could bring it in, run out, that I am now to be disadvantaged because of your inadequacy, government of the Bahamas? You see how it just doesn't mesh together well. I claim not to be a smart person. I make no claims that I have any level of intellectualism that exceeds anyone's. But when I put these things in my very basic thinking brain, they simply make no sense to me. And I find it, I'm hard-pressed to believe, right, that the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, one of the leading economies in our hemisphere, one of the leading nations in our hemisphere, all right, one of the most developed small island nations in the world, actually, sits at a table full of advisors, sits in a parliamentary caucus, full of elected officials, sits in a cabinet, man, for Jesus Christ in heaven's sake, with at least four lawyers. Let's call them Darren Enfield, Ramal Ferreira, Jeffrey Lloyd, and Ellsworth Johnson. Minimum four. And did they let this man come out here and say this silliness? I know he's kind of tall, but you don't have to be scared of him. And I think we, you know, we talk about the era of Hubert Alexander Ingram and how Mr. Ingram was such a dogged politician. He was such a, you know, such an aggressive prime minister, and people dare not got on Mr. Ingram's bad side, right? Well, I don't really know, because I even somebody with the character of a Mr. Hubert Alexander Ingram, I think would have been more approachable in instances like this. I am simply trying to make it make sense. And I tell people, the test of a good idea, right? This is how you test a good idea. When you hear it, you think about it, then say it out loud. And if after you've said it out loud, it still makes sense, chances are you have an okay idea. Then go and say it out loud to a couple other people and let them think about it, and then let them come back and say it out loud to you, because sometimes you can't hear your own voice saying stupid things. Are you aware of that? Are you aware that sometimes, because of the way your brain processes the way you speak, your brain doesn't hear the inadequacies in your diction? Your brain doesn't hear when you use jargon. Your brain somehow makes it all standard English, right? So tell the thing that you thought about to someone and let them repeat it to you and see if in their voice it still sounds sensible. Because what you may find is that what you said may have been very stupid. And that's how I feel about this whole stupid vaccination holiday. Man, if there's one time I could break the law, it's going to be that day. And I'll tell you why. Because I want to see how they can enforce this. I am just anxious. I just need to go out, because I'm telling you I won't be vaccinated. But I just want to go out and see what the plan is. And if I'm not vaccinated, what you can do, throw me. Like, how are you going to, how, okay. So if all the vaccinated people could hang out at what place, which of the restaurants, oh my God, which of the restaurants are you going to allow to be open? And if, what is the number the last time I checked? 5,000, some 100 of them, maybe 8,000. I'll Google it in a second view. But if less than 10,000 people have been vaccinated, and majority of them was church people and old people, then what the hell you opening the country after 10 o'clock for? Because church people and old people just be home at 10 o'clock. So what are we talking about? What are we talking about? Anyway, 325-4259. I understand that is the only phone line I have this morning. You can text me, 422-4796. If you know where Sonny Miller is, he's the chairman of the Police Staff Association. He was supposed to come and tell me what the plan is to deal with this, but I don't know. I think he was calling to an emergency meeting. Let me read a couple of these text messages here. It says, morning, vaccination day makes no sense. I think you're saying it too mildly, text writer. It is a scatterbrained idea. It is a scatterbrained idea. It is a scatterbrained idea. And anybody that thought about it should be in charge of nothing, including dog catching. We shouldn't allow somebody that thought about something as stupid as a vaccination day in a country. Watch this. Jesus. Here's why it makes no sense, right? First of all, the Bahamas is an archipelago, all right? Which means your vaccinated people don't necessarily have to all be in one place. So now you make a rule that doesn't affect the entire country. And I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, there are islands that already don't have no rules in place and no one vaccinated there. Okay, fine. Then you get the vaccination or the vaccines. I think you have about 50,000 of them, which is about a quarter of the population in the amount of dosage, right? To date, I think 8,000, let me Google it for you. I think it's about 8,500 of y'all have been vaccinated or somewhere in that general area. They have said that old people, people over 65, the clergy, and senior government officials make up the majority of that number. Yet there's a 10 o'clock curfew in place that you say, if you're vaccinated, you could be out after the curfew. Well, if all the people who vaccinated is people that is take medication, pee, and go to bed, then what you extending the curfew for? Because that don't make no sense. That means I'm going to run my business at a loss when I open it for these old people to go home anyhow. It is a scatterbrain idea. Let's take this phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there?
Yes, good morning, Levan. How you doing, man?
Man, I think they got my pressure up a little bit this morning.
But don't do that, my brother. These are the last days. You're supposed to expect this type of stuff.
Is it too much to ask?
I know, my brother. I know. You ain't hear the voice yet. You see, it's expected, you know, man ain't as wise as our Savior, you know. Our Redeemer is about to return. The shout is about to be made. Man can make a little bit more dumber stuff than you hear yesterday. You won't hear nothing yet. Wait till tomorrow when he addresses the House of Assembly, you know. But to God be the glory.
Before you go, I want to ask you a question. You have kids? You have children?
No, but I've raised enough.
You raised children.
And paid enough school fees.
Now, let me ask you this question. Uh-huh. As the adult, most times you assume that you are correct because you are the adult, yes?
Yes.
But have you ever said something to a child, and then when you walk off, you smile to yourself and say, boy, that was really stupid, you know?
Yeah, but
I feel like that's the way I feel like the Prime Minister should come back now and buy us ice cream for saying something so stupid to us.
But hey, I wouldn't need the ice cream because it might be bubble gum.
I have sons, right? Uh-huh. Sometimes I say things to my 5-year-old and the boy is very witty. So then he repeats it, right?
Uh-huh.
And I think to myself and I say, I don't really know if that was smart when I said that.
Yeah.
So then I go and I tell him, I say, well, anyhow, you want to go for a drive?
Uh-huh.
You know, I feel like if the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas...
Yeah, you actually wanted to make up for it.
Yeah, because you can't just say something stupid like that.
Yeah, but you know, we expect so much of our Prime Minister, you know, keep on saying this. Maybe he doesn't know any better, you know. Maybe he's giving you enough of himself. Come on, all of us can go up at the table.
It's impossible. thank you, Carla.
Okay.
Appreciate it. 325-4259. I tell you, I think you're raising my pressure a little bit in here this morning. Because there will be people that will say, oh my God, this boy is just so disrespectful. La 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 la. Whatever. The point I'm making to you is, I mean, I just want cogent thought. Is that too much to ask for? Does the Prime Minister realize that he doesn't have to say something? Like, he can just say, Well, we are working on a plan to motivate citizens. We understand the fear of our population. We want them to know that we are with them. They are in our thoughts. And we are going to do everything that we can to ensure that, one, they feel safe, and that we, the government, are able to achieve our goals that we have set for us, and that is at least a 70% vaccinated population. You see how that wouldn't make people irate, Prime Minister? But if you say something stupid, man, like, oh, and then the next time I talk to y'all, I can tell y'all about my plan for a vaccination of the what? I tell you, most times I hear the Prime Minister speak, he had easily as well may have said, Peter Piper, pick a pack of pickled peppers. It has the same meaning to me. I cannot understand it. And I also thought about something yesterday. This is as an aside. And if you have a scientific mind, maybe 52, you're out there listening. Maybe you could help me with this. I'm not sure. This is not science. This is Levin Miller. All right? Please don't quote this. Don't use it as a guiding rail. Don't use it as anything. This is simply a theory that Levin Miller has come up with, right? So the thought is that we need to have, and I heard Warren McCartney again yesterday, so now y'all know I listen to Warren's show, where he said that no one has really been able to agree whether it's the CDC, the WHO, or the PAHO have come to a general consensus on what an inoculated population or what herd immunity in a population looks like. We haven't agreed that yet. I thought I read somewhere that it was 70% and in other instances 80%. I thought that it needed to be a minimum of 60 to 70% of the adult population. I don't know if Warren saw that. I can't remember where I saw it, but I remember reading that somewhere. So I don't know if I'm going to 100% agree with him that there is no number. I think the generally accepted number, if not agreed, is 70%. But then I thought about the fact that the Bahamas enjoys visitation via cruise ships and airlift to the tune of 6.4 million people per annum. If you consider the fact that 6.4 million tourists plus 0.4 million Bahamians, right, would mean 7 million people on average live, traverse, and reside, even if it's only short-term periods, in the Bahamas, right? So the travel population of the Bahamas or the traversing population of the Bahamas is 7 million people. And if by chance, just by chance, if America, which is largely where our people come from, right? I think they said something like 3 million Americans visit the Bahamas annually. If we could somehow get all 3 million of the Americans that visit here, or 4 million of them that visit here, then can we argue, 52 maybe, that that's our 60% there and we could kind of kick the bucket on the rest of this vaccination in the Bahamas? I just asked it. Now, I don't know how it would look when we try to travel there, but I'm saying that is there such a thing as traversing herd immunity? I don't know. 325-4259, you can give me a call. Let's take this one. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
Sparky here.
Hey, Sparky.
Well, I don't know how they're going to be on the final. Y'all can be a talk show host, but y'all can talk now.
Well, that's what they just need me to do. Stop
by yourself. Don't even need nobody to call it the yard. And then y'all be telling people every day to dumb it and call it, but y'all don't want to answer the phone. Especially that one on 4 o'clock. You don't even need nobody to call it. But you know, I've been trying, Mr. Miller, to find out. I've taken my first shot on May 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm due to take it the next 8 to 12 weeks, they said. I've been on no problem since then, but my problem is following the program, trying to be an upright citizen, not knowing what's going on, until Mr. 52 comes in here and he can start his scientific nobody elaborations. But my question is, even asking my doctor friends and so forth, even those who have taken it and not taken it, nobody can even tell me if it's a vaccine. What does it do? What will it do? What is it doing in my body? Nobody can give me an answer. But what is the big fight, even with the Prime Minister being a doctor, if nobody seems to even can tell us what it is? Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
I try my best.
They're saying it's an experimental drug.
Mm-hmm.
Experimental drug. Not really officially calling it a vaccine. But what is it doing in my body right now?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if it's experimental, Sparky. I know that it is only emergency rated. So it is an emergency rated vaccine.
Can anybody say what it is? What chemicals in it? What?
Isn't it an mRNA? Or is it? I don't know. I don't know the language well enough to speak it.
We need 52 to come in because he know everything, but everything when it comes to chemistry, I guess he's the,
probably the man said he studied it.
Yeah, that's he's well read. I think I don't know if he's well studied, but he's well read.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Sparky. 323. No. 325. You see what happens when you memorize the numbers, right? Because I'm about to give you all the not working numbers. The other ones ain't working. You could call me the one, 325-4259. Or you can text me on 4224796. Let me knock out a couple of these text messages. I don't mean to disrespect the Prime Minister, the most honorable, the competent authority, the Dr. the Honorable Hubert Minnis, right? I saw an article from him yesterday in the newspaper saying that, man, he expect people to badmouth him as a Prime Minister. These badmouth Prime Ministers. And I'm saying that I don't know if you can just simply divorce yourself from the emotion that flippantly, because what I think you then do is miss opportunities for people to actually speak into your hearing sensible things. But it is nonsense to tell me that you have, and again, I hear this in the wind, right? I heard this in the wind. It is nonsense to tell me that of almost 1,600 Defense Force Marines, I hear they're somewhere in the area of 530, they're somewhere in that general area. You have not been able to convince more than 90 of them to take the vaccination. Yet you have been deploying them in sedentary duties, and you've been deploying them in static positions, all about with the police, all about in takedown teams, all about in responding units. Well, when you have your vaccination day, who could police it? Because you only have, let's see, my maths is terrible, 530 take away 90 is how much? 530 take away the 30, that leave me with 60. So that leave me with 1460. Is that maths correct? Is that math correct? If it's 530 and I take away 90, I take away the whole 30 from the 530, that leave me with 500. I take away 60, that leave me with 1440. That's the number I'm looking for. The rest of them, they could be home. They could be home. And I also heard wonderful things. Like, y'all are now saying things. And see, this is how I tell you, y'all are becoming very passive-aggressive with this forcing people to be vaccinated. Because now I'm understanding that you can only work certain billets if you are vaccinated. And that is passive-aggressive behavior. Let's take this call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning, Levon.
How are you?
I'm good, great. Thank you. I'm calling about a comment that was made with the last caller.
Mm-hmm.
He asked you about the nature of the vaccine. Is it experimental?
Yeah.
And you said that it's only for emergency use.
Right.
And I just needed to verify with you, it's only for emergency use because it is experimental.
And I get that. The point I was making was I don't know if I wanted to make sure I get the language correct. They are not calling it an experimental vaccine.
But it is an experimental vaccine.
I don't disagree.
There is no conclusion on what happens in your body once you take this vaccine. There is no conclusion that this vaccine is at a rate that is really sustainable in terms of protecting a community. There is no conclusion on that. So it can only be called experimental. Okay?
Okay.
And I think it's pretty odd that somebody would say, I just took the vaccine, but now I'm finding out, or I am finding out, having taken this vaccine, that they cannot tell me what's happening in my body.
Mm.
You know, I think as Bahamians that we need to really be educated concerning the facts of what is happening all around us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we cannot continue to be bamboozled by the authorities, because we don't know, really, at the end of the day, we don't know what their end game is.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what their motivations are.
Yeah.
You know, we would have thought having voted them into power, we would have thought that their motivation was for our best interest.
No, we're not saying that at all. The number one motivation of a politician is re-election. Remember, you cannot
have that as a motivation when you are consistently going against the will of the people.
But what if your friends tell you differently?
Going against the rights of the people. Well, that cannot be your motivation.
There's an old proverb. I think it's Greek, right? That there was once a Roman emperor who became the most powerful man in all of Rome, I guess. And he hired this guy to walk around every day behind him, every time he mounted a podium, every time he gave a speech, so that once he was done, the man could tell him, Emperor, you're still just a man. And sometimes, right, people in power need those kinds of people around them. I can tell you, in the Bahamas, that happens very rarely. I've never seen, and you know what annoys me? It's usually big, grown man with facial hair. That butt fly.
I would have told several men, Bahamian men, that I am so disappointed to know that the Bahamian men have sat silently. They have sat sanguinely while all of this is being done to the Bahamian public. Mm. I mean, they're supposed to be the pillars of our society. They're supposed to be the ones protecting us. And yet, the persons that I know to have some level of intelligence, they are allowing this thing to happen and they're remaining silent concerning it. Mm-hmm. So what are we as women? What are we as their children? What are we? What is our expectation? What is our hope? What is our hope? And another thing too, you talk about the schoolmaster who tells you that you have to pay $2 to come and dress up in your own clothes. Mm-hmm. You know, as a youth, I never participated in that. My parents had more than 5-6 children. Mm-hmm. Okay, how can they pay $2 and then go and purchase outfits for all of these children to come and dress up for somebody else to benefit? What sense does that make? What is the benefit for that home?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I completely agree, and like I said, I think the Prime Minister has an interesting complex where he kind of likes to play high school principal, and that is kind of the way I see this whole vaccination thing. You know, go get vaccine now, get vaccine. I can let y'all put on your own clothes. You've got to be crazy, because no one, just like how the CDC them can't agree, right? If Juan McCartney is right, and the CDC them cannot agree on what herd immunity look like, how in God damn can they agree on what this vaccination could do to different people? I see the bishop. Let me send my regards to Bishop Lawrence Rule. I saw the bishop was having some complications the other day. I am advised that it was after his vaccination. So if that is correct, Bishop, you are in my thoughts and in my prayers. Bishop Lawrence Rule has been a childhood friend of my family. From as long as I had breath, I've known Lawrence Rule. He's a pretty decent guy. Let me get a couple of these text messages out of the way. Levan, I think we are missing the main point. We don't have enough vaccines in country for everyone to take part in the vaccination date. That's exactly my point. Levan, Menace is that unpopular kid trying to impress the cool kids. He wanted to be accepted by the whites. He knows they are probably vaccinated, so he was trying to curry favor. This is how Uncle Tom's worked. The vaccination day statement was for them, not for us blackies. Sorry, the truth is sometimes ugly. Okay. What it was scatterbrain. Great show as usual. You do realize on vaccination day, they may or may not be giving out 3 pieces of Kentucky. But like, do you all know that I don't eat processed food? Like, I want you all to, when you get an opportunity, Google or YouTube it actually, franchise restaurants, franchise eateries in the Caribbean and Eastern world. I promise you, after you watch the 40-minute documentary, you will never eat that stuff ever, ever, ever again. So I want to brag a little bit here. For the last 3-4 years, I've not eaten any one of the major franchises. It's because that stuff gave me the heebie-jeebies, and so I don't eat it anymore. I still ain't getting vaccinated for a free piece of chicken from KFC. Great show as usual. Been going to bed 10:30 for so long now. I'm going to be 44 in July. Feel like I'm going through puberty for the second time. I did not know that was possible. Y'all don't miss the days when Hubert Ingham was in power. Could you do more Ingham voices to give the country some form of hope? I'll try. He's not that tall, but he sure is inglorious looking. That's funny. I actually feel like I almost know this text writer. and megalomaniacal. He's self-inflated and riding on power-centric. So high, he need to lose this election rejection. What a mindless joker. Okay. Well, you sure told him. Boy, even if that's the case, he have to buy plenty ice cream. He got to buy the entire store. I don't know. Mr. Miller, the incompetent authority has become so accustomed to making silly policies without pushback that now he feels the ultimate power to say and do anything he wants, and no one dare question him. He's a jokey leader. All right. Hi, Levin. You can call me 325-4259. Arlington, I see this other line lighting up. Does that mean it's working? No? Okay. Don't call that other line. I could see the call, but I can't answer it. So call me on 325-4259. You got that? That was quick. 325-4259. Hi, Levin. I agree with your sentiments on the curfew time restrictions on business. The storage facilities and containers are capacitated with goods and equipment from closed businesses. 60% of the businesses will not rebound if we continue with this trend. You're correct. I believe that. Please don't get 52 started. Man, 52 usually has good information. And like I said, I want to bounce this theory off him, right? He's the one with the degree, I think he says, in chemical. Is it chemical engineering or is it biochemical? I don't know. I can't remember what he says his degree is in. Brother Levin Miller, the vaccine of any kind does not prevent COVID-19. This is a trial testing agenda with some pluses and minuses. We all are in trouble, and only Jehovah God Almighty can save us. And for the fire, and or fire the competent authority and live a normal life from Grand Bahama. We are listening. Thank you, Grand Bahama. And if you're in Grand Bahama, I invite you to go down in the town center. I have a sister down there whom I love so dearly at Creative Nails. Her name is Jody. You could tell her brother said hello. And also, she has a wonderful daughter, my darling niece that I love with all my heart, little Jador. You make sure you tell Jador her wonderful Unky. She calls me Unky, you know. You tell her wonderful Unky said hello. All right. Brother Miller, the Prime Minister, is no different from those dumb politicians in Parliament. Hence, he did not answer Frederick McAlpine in Parliament because no one was there to write him the explanation and answers to McAlpine. Or even the Speaker Moultrie on what he has done for the people and the country in the past 4 years. Again, from Grand Bahama. All right. Thank you, Grand Bahama. Levin, why is you shocked at what Minnis say and do? Did you think Nico Grant, LBT, and the other MPs would make up a story about Minnis' incompetency as leader? Damn fools, we still married de Gaulle. Interesting theory. Traverse immunity could help lessen our COVID threat, as they won't bring it here or spread it here, but we would still have the COVID issue longer locally if we don't get vaccinated. We trying to get immunity the hard way. Yes, I am vaccinated, so are my friends. Well, God bless you and your wonderful friends. I actually want to play God Save the Queen for you. Let's take this call, Ali. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Miller.
52, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm all right, but, it's like a burden when you have a knowledge and you don't share it. Knowledge
having
it yourself
that
doesn't serve any good.
Yeah.
The question is, besides you and Warren, and maybe, but of course the DM, right? Who's fighting, and I hear Wayne now and then, who's fighting for liberty? So the fact that, first of all, I'm a sheep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the same pasture, but the other sheep wouldn't listen to me by telling them don't eat that grass with that cyanide in it.
Mm-hmm.
So they prefer for the shepherd to lead them to that. But everything is okay, but I just want to answer and respond to some naysayers and whatever the likes, right? But remember now, civil disobedience, if it wasn't for civil disobedience, we wouldn't have spiritual deviances like German reformers and people saying no to the status quo bias, right? And disobedience as far as the status quo and authorities muzzling new thoughts and opinions. The world would have been nowhere if everybody says yes. But let me touch on some science then. But first of all, mendicide is a disease, and it's a disease against the human mind and spirit. It is systemized insidiously, and it is organized against those to destroy us. But people don't understand it. But I want to touch. See, I like Warren, Not because Warren's a Leo, but see, I'm a lion. I'm a Leo.
Mm-hmm.
Raymond, with a guy named Moss, by Shelley Moss, Hubert Ingham, Perry, a lot of us. Haile Selassie, Marcus Garvey. So you should know my character.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, why I call, right, is because the message I carry is beyond me. I don't worry with people. I don't worry with what they think. Blood or ink. You understand what I'm saying? I do not worry. Now, let's get with the equilibrium, with the herd immunity. I said initially for over 2 years now, from the pandemic breakout, I was saying herd immunity is a farce, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it is, because if you understand reassortment, antigenic shift and drift, right, you would know that it's basically impossible because of the mutation rate of the influenza strains
mm-hmm.
to even reassort amongst themselves. So with what happened is we have reached the state. This is why I mentioned a couple of weeks ago we'll be in a perpetual viral merry-go-round because I know the end game. You see, the lady who called before, the last lady called, is very brilliant. I love the lady. I love that. And she said, no man is standing up. But what she don't realize is even in the scientific community, you have just as much women standing up, Dr. Dolores Cahill, Dr. Judy Mikovits, who has been jailed and muzzled. But anyhow, let me just explain on what is an endemic equilibrium. It is a state where it has a mathematical thesis, but I don't need to get into that. But it's really a state in where the disease cannot be totally eradicated from society, and it perpetuates. So they know we have reached a state of endemic equilibrium in the global on the global plantation. So the fact that they want to put us in this continuous viral merry-go-round and using fear and propaganda, which is the tools of most government. I don't know who all know it, but what you have to realize about herd immunity, because of the new virulence of this virus, you know, their studies show that the virus is very virulent. So they up the herd immunity parameters to 90%. Mm-hmm. This is something recent, like from since the pandemic. They upped it to 90%. But even in herd immunity, because of the mutation and nature of the virus. But what like I was saying, they're not discussing to me and you. Now, with these evidence that these people just coming out talking about natural infection and the innate immune response creates immunity, and it is correct. But that's the same thing with Dr. Gerd van den Bosch is saying. They're not telling you about the non-specific antibodies that mutate, germinate, differentiate, and proliferate in the bone marrow and the in the secondary lymphatic system. You see? And so what they don't tell you is the T lymphocytes, they go to the thymus gland. That's why it's called T lymphocytes, because they go to the thymus gland where they are further enhanced in some metabolic changes. They don't even know. Sparky saying, but studying. They still studying certain things. The biostatisticians has come back and found that the CDC was given gross disinformation, and the CDC admitted that 10% of outdoor transmission is allocated to COVID-19 outdoor. And then they came back and the study shows where it's basically less, it's about 1%. It's basically non-existent, not unless you're in close proximity with someone for prolonged period of time and you actually violent. I mean, brisk conversations.
You mean so like behavior and chatter, because that's how
So they know these things. So what I'm saying is these people are not being sincere and genuine with the information, like I said, but anyone who was listening to me for over the years will realize what I'm saying. So the fact that, you know, Sparky's all right, but I don't want him to feel like he's saying I'm well-read. But, you know, I did science up to A-level in COB, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I dropped out, right? Smoke weed, get in trouble, do things, just like him. But don't tell me I study something, because once you read something, you study, it's the same thing as them.
Yeah.
That's why I always have questions asked. Now, he said nobody explained to him what happens once the vaccination is in your body. I spoke with the scientist on Dawn's show, on the eye-opener, and the haters was hoping the woman would have lambasted me or embarrassed me. The woman actually said what I said. I gave the whole total sequence from the RNA injection into the interstitial tissue. So let me explain something to the public. What happens is, this is common sense, you know. This has nothing to do with being smart, you know. Your body is programmed to produce the spike protein.
Mm-hmm.
So when it enters the cell and it creates the sequence to create the spike protein. The spike protein is in the blood. So what that means is how much cells produce spike proteins? These spike proteins flowing all around your blood, the brain, the extremities, whatever. Hence, blood clots and deep vein thrombosis are initiated by the damage that the spike protein themselves does to the endothelial linings of the blood vessels. These are facts that they can go and check. You know, I spoke with Aaron the other day. Some haters, Aaron say document. Man, I like Aaron, you know, but I'm not going to document anything, because when I speak, you should just go and find out, because you have information at the tip of your finger. Stop looking at WhatsApp and all the little mindless distractions that they have given you, that they have pacified and socialized, engineered the world in such a way now that we have begun to love our servitude And people must realize that liberty is not given. It must be taken. Like they said, give me liberty or give me death. And they could go and read the Academy of Ideas and read philosophy.
Because even rather than to be a slave,
he gives some really foolish concepts about, you go on an airplane, you don't know what could crash, you drink this, soda, you drink this. Man, Rafter don't drink and eat none of them things, man. You see what I'm saying? Now, some things I go in the food store, but I try to go to the farmer's market as much as possible because I'm at the age where I have to preserve myself because I have a five-year-old, right?
Mm-hmm.
Me, I water in the plants for that other day. She tell me, Daddy, I could see God, you know. And she says, well, and she point up at the sky and way, and so, you know, I'm confounded. You see what I'm saying? So, I you know what I mean? I show her how to, I get her to drink water regularly because I show her the plants need water. I try to give her the symbiosis of life. So, I don't want no one to believe I live in some type of sad life where I try to bring sadness upon the masses. But you can stick your head in the sand and deny reality. And like George Orwell saying, when you deny reality, and when it comes up on you, it'll be harder to overcome it. Have a good day,
appreciate
brother.
Appreciate you, 52. Yeah, so... I just thought about something. 52, I like that. Give me freedom or give me death. Because more rather than to be a slave, I'd rather be buried in my grave and go home to the Lord and be free. I like these little choruses and things. They'd be all right. All right, listen, if you like what you hear on Unleashed with Levin Miller, why not advertise and sponsor this show? Please give our sales department a call. That's 302-2300. All right, and ask for Janet Lees or April Moss. I also wanted to tell you something, you know. The Prime Minister acts as though he doesn't understand the people with whom he has the opportunity to be Prime Minister over. You know, Bahamians don't really care what you call the holiday, you know. If we get the day off and could go drink liquor, all us coming anyhow. It could be Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, Easter, Bar Mitzvah. We don't care. Vaccination Day, whatever you name it. Mister, if it sounds like a day off where we could go and frolic and like one of my old friends would say, go gallon, oh, you better please believe we signing up. We vaccinated my foot. We coming. All right? So I think you can run into a little bit of problems there, Mr. Prime Minister. I am almost out of time. Let me see if I can knock out two more of these text messages. The text right here says, Brother Miller, the conduct of the Prime Minister is... What? Conduct of the Prime Minister is... Something. Everything I see the monkey do, I do. Monkey laughing, I laughing. Ha 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 ha. Bahamas have the last laugh and take our country back, especially again from Grand Bahama. Leaving as our leaders bask in the sun, opposition and government, we have murders, inflation. Oh yeah, I see they start the murder Olympics again. Listen, you all fellas, stop killing each other. And 10 o'clock in the morning. How you just get killed 10 o'clock in the morning? My goodness. Anyway, I fresh out of time. Thank you so much for listening in to my friends over there at the watering hole. You know, as chief, I like to give myself a title, you know, Arlington, as senior chief inner city watering hole ambassador. I want to let you all know that I'm coming to see you all. And when I get over there, I think we're going to have a yabba-dabba-doo time. Not now, though. I got like, responsible things to do. And then, when I finish with them. All right? Anyway, that's my time. You know my voice. It's Levin Miller. I think I'm saving some inner-city kittens today. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't forget to give Janet Lees a call in our sales department. The number is 302-2300. 302-2300. That number actually works. You can give it a call. Don't move. Guardian Radio, your station for fresh news and smart talk. They've got the news, it's now. Every day.